Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, beautiful humans. If a professional, polished, well-edited podcast is what you're after, then move right on.
If, however, you love unfiltered banter, unedited bloopers, authentic heart sharing, and a very generous dash of holistic health education, then you're in the right place.
Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome back to the Holistic Health Podcast. It is Nat here with you, and I am solo podcasting today on a topic that is very close to my heart and that I feel is, well, I actually realized the other day in a conversation with a friend, a new friend actually, that we hadn't yet done a podcast on PMDD, and it came to my attention in that podcast as well, because she's someone in that podcast, in that conversation as well, because she's someone that shared with me that she suffered from PMDD for a really, really, really long time. And it wasn't until she was listening to, I think it might have been a podcast or a conversation of some sort, and she had this realization drop in that it's actually not normal to feel like your whole world is falling apart 2 weeks, 1 to 2 weeks of the month, and just how debilitating that was for her, and what an incredible life-changing experience it was to start to actually get on top of that, which, you know, of course, the latter part I absolutely know, because treating many women with both PMS and also PMDD in clinic all of the time, I see just how profound the impact can be and the ripple effects of that when we start to get that under control. And I guess I think sometimes I can take it for granted that there's all these different conditions and experiences that women are having from a hormonal and a mental and an emotional perspective that I'm very aware of, both in terms of just how common these things are, and also how actually not normal it is. And I think when it comes to hormones and our periods and our cycles, and I guess our bodies generally, unless you're having a lot of these conversations and you're getting a diverse, perspective of all the different variations of what period cycles, etc., can look like, you only really know what your own body's experience is. And then, you know, as an extension of that, you really then only have your comparison to be those who are closest to you. And that might only be your family, your sister, your mom, your auntie, or it might only be a really, you know, close, tight-knit group of girlfriends you've had these conversations with. And if their experience is somewhat similar, or there's only like one other person in there that really experiences that, it, you know, it can then lead you down a path for you to believe that your experience is just normal, or it's just your normal, and this is just how it is for you, or this is how it is in your family. Whereas I guess, you know, being in this very privileged position of having the knowledge I have, having the experience and the exposure I have, I can very clearly see when someone is experiencing a, you know, a variation of normal versus actually something that is a red flag, a problem, and that has the potential for so much improvement. And my intention with this podcast is to help you have a little bit of a reference point for what is normal versus what is a problem, and also to help you understand the difference between PMS and PMDD. And I really would love for you to share this conversation with a friend or a family member, because it's so important that we're having these conversations. It's so important that we aren't suffering in silence. It's so important that we get second opinions if we have tried to have it addressed, but it hasn't yet been addressed properly. So this is my contribution and my attempt to be part of that conversation for you. So where I wanted to start is to, first of all, just give you some idea around the statistics. And that might be boring for some people, but I'm not sharing it to bore you. I'm sharing it to give you a bit of an idea around, you know, where this is sitting in amongst our society. So it's estimated that around 70% of women who are currently cycling, i.e. they are experiencing getting their period, have at least one, you know, typical PMS type symptom. And I wouldn't, depending on the degree of that symptom, I wouldn't necessarily call that a massive problem, but more something that might need just a little bit of refinement. But then I would say about 30% of, well, I wouldn't say, the research would say about 30% of women experience actual PMS, and about 2 to 8% of women experience PMDD. So it's really important to differentiate between PMS and PMDD. Both of them deserve attention and both of them deserve treatment and intervention and can absolutely be improved. But I do think the differentiation between the two is important. So the easiest way to probably explain this to you is to say that PMDD has a set of specific diagnostic criteria, which I'll go through in a moment, whereas PMS is more so when you're experiencing, I guess, you're not meeting this criteria, but perhaps you can feel like you relate a little bit. So maybe you're experiencing less than 5 of the symptoms that I'm going to run through for PMDD, and that those symptoms don't interfere with your day-to-day function, whether that be physically, psychologically, or emotionally. So the diagnostic criteria for PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, sorry, I probably should have started with that, but PMDD for short, is considered to be when you're experiencing 5 or more of the following symptoms that I'm about to run through, and that these symptoms are occurring in the luteal phase, so roughly about the week or two before your period, and that those symptoms are resolved or relieved significantly once you actually get your period. You know, by about day 4 of your period, you should feel this wave of relief of like, oh, fuck, thank goodness, you know, I'm not insane. I don't need to end my marriage, sell my house, run away from this career. I mean, you might need to do some of those things for other reasons, but I'm sure you get the gist of things. It's like, it's like a big weight has been lifted off you as soon as you get your period or within a few days of that. So the symptoms, the diagnostic criteria of the symptoms where you need to meet 5 or more of these include things like a depressed mood or feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, anxiety, a sense of feeling like really out of control or overwhelmed, irritability or angry outbursts, feeling really like lethargic, either having excessive sleep or really struggling to sleep, breast pain or breast tenderness, weight gain, bloating, significant food cravings, or significant changes to appetite in either direction. So from a medical standpoint, the options most women are often prescribed or often given if they are meeting that, actually just rewind for a second. The other part to that diagnostic criteria, technically speaking, is that you also technically need to have been experiencing those symptoms or meeting that criteria for at least three consecutive menstrual cycles. So I think that that's important to just remember in terms of that's the diagnostic criteria. Now, if you don't fit that down to an absolute T and there's like one thing missing, in my personal opinion, it's still something to look into. You know, you don't have to fit perfectly into this box in order to do something about it, but this is more to give a voice to those that are experiencing this degree of PMDD or this degree of symptoms who need to hear that this is actually not normal, even if it is common and even if it has been your normal for quite some time. And also know that this can happen at any age. It does not have to be something where you've experienced your whole life. It can be, and it is for some women, but it also can be triggered by other events or at any point in your menstruating life. So really important to remember that as well. Okay, so I digress. Circling back to medical management before I start to share with you how I actually approach it from more of a holistic standpoint. So medically speaking, at the time of recording this podcast, if you are, you know, seen to fit the diagnostic criteria of PMDD, most of the time you will be offered an SSRI, which is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, or you know, colloquially known as like an antidepressant, so to speak. And my experience of this is that a lot of women don't want to take this or don't want to take that route, and they do want to look at things more holistically. And also, understandably, it's absolutely debilitating to experience PMDD or severe PMS or even just mild PMS, and the flow on effects that that has into your life when we consider that for some women this is happening 1 to 2 weeks of every single month. And it's not just that experience, it's also then the flow on effects of then having to manage or reconcile things that you've said, done, thought, you know, derailed relationship struggles, you know, opportunities that you've missed out on because you've just felt debilitated by being able to just, you're just trying to survive, is really important to name up as well. Because I know for a lot of my clients who have come to me for management of PMDD, their experience is very much that it's that although those symptoms are happening for a lot of them for a week before their period, maybe a little bit longer, it's the flow on effects into their relationships, their career, their confidence that really is ends up being something that they're just perpetually managing. And it's not how it has to be. And there are so many things that you can do about it. So let's talk about that. Now, when I am looking at treating someone holistically for PMDD or PMS for that matter, I really want to figure out exactly what is the cause for this individual. The mistake I see a lot of practitioners make, particularly early on in their career, and also people who are trying to just DIY their way out of this, which I so understand as someone who has experienced quite severe PMS, I understand that you're just desperate. But the mistake that I see people make is that they assume that it is always just a hormonal problem, or that it is always just that you've got too much estrogen and you need to clear it, or that any fancy marketing that speaks to this is a quote unquote hormone balancing supplement, or this improves PMS is the answer, and that you keep beating a dead horse even though you might actually be feeling worse or no different from having tried that strategy. So I actually think it's so important to find out which of the following you fit into. Do you have estrogen excess? Do you have a progesterone insufficiency, or because these things can coexist, do you have a hypersensitivity to normal hormonal changes that then affect your brain chemistry, so to speak? So which category you fit into, or categories, I should say, you fit into, really dictates the treatment. And it's my belief that skipping this step of testing and thorough assessment can actually worsen some women's symptoms because of exactly what I said. They go down the route of buying hormonal balancing supplements, which further alter the estrogen and progesterone in a lot of senses. And when in fact, for some people, it's not that problem at all. It's actually this hypersensitivity to normal hormonal changes that are affecting brain chemistry. And that then when you are just clearing estrogen or you're trying to boost progesterone, it's either not making any difference at all, or in some cases, it makes something really worse. Another clinical example that I can give for you, and some people, this might go over your head, some people it won't, but just bear with me. I'm just going to pop it in here anyway, because I do feel like this is a popular thing to prescribe, is you might be someone who has, let's say, low to moderate progesterone, whether you know that or you don't, and you actually have really high estrogen. And you might unknowingly hear that the herb Vitex or Chase Tree, for example, is great for PMS, great for boosting progesterone, which is not untrue. Both of those statements are true. And also, it's not great for everybody because Vitex or Chase Tree is also what we call an estrogenic herb. So it promotes estrogen. And in someone who is already very estrogen dominant, it actually can and does for many women worsen your PMDD or your PMS symptoms. But then the contrary can be true. For another person presenting with another variation of PMS and/or PMDD, it actually might be the absolute perfect herb and perfect solution for them. But this is why it's so important that we understand our unique drivers so that we're able to specifically tailor a solution for you as an individual that is not only going to, you know, not worsen your symptoms, but it's actually going to have the chance to make a profound, a profound positive impact on your experience of your cycles as well. So one thing I can tell you is that no matter what variation of those three things are happening for you, so estrogen excess, progesterone insufficiency, or just a hypersensitivity to normal hormonal fluctuations that are then influencing your brain chemistry or your neurotransmitters, which is just a fancy way to say your brain chemistry or brain hormones, so to speak. I do think that just mastering the foundations of hormonal health is still really important, and they're always going to be. So I'm not going to bore you with the details of those because we go through them all of the time, but rather I will just name them up as eating adequate dietary protein, having adequate calories, getting enough sleep consistently, managing stress. And then from a supplemental perspective, something that I will share with you is that there is a bit of a magic trio, as a lot of us call it as practitioners, that for some people can just be enough to actually set you on the right course. It's not for everybody in terms of a lot of women require more than just this, but the magic trio is magnesium, vitamin B6, and zinc. And it can be magic, which is why it's called the magic trio. However, mostly I would say in my clinical experience, we need a little bit more for people who are really experiencing, in particular, PMDD. So if you're going down the path of testing, which is what I absolutely wholeheartedly recommend that you do, it's really important that these tests are both well-timed, interpreted by someone who knows what they're doing, and also interpreted in the context of what is optimal, not just what is quote unquote normal. Because in case you're new here, when we're talking about blood tests and blood test ranges and what is normal versus not, the ranges that are given on standard blood test results forms are not optimal. So for example, in a lot of cases, those reference ranges can be based on just the average person that is coming through that pathology lab's doors, and then they're finding what's the average result, therefore let's call that normal. And it doesn't take a genius to work out that the majority of people who are going to get their blood tests done are not going because they're just feeling fun, flirty, and fabulous and just living their best and healthiest lives. They're actually going because they're not feeling that well, or they are actually acutely unwell or chronically unwell. And then we are then often developing reference ranges on arguably an unhealthy population. And I trust that if you're here and interested in health optimization, then what you really want to be aiming for is exactly that, optimal reference ranges. So my little pathology interpretation rant aside, coming back to it being really important that these tests are well timed. So I would say that in my clinic, I often do tests at two points of time in someone's cycle. So day one, two, or three of someone's period or menstrual cycle. So day one of your cycle is the first full day of bleeding on your period. So not spotting, but actual proper bleeding. And then more importantly, in this context of PMS and PMDD, we're really wanting to capture what we call a peak luteal phase test. So there are a couple of ways you can work this out. The best way is if you are confident with identifying when you ovulate, then you want to count 5 to 7 days forward after you identify that you have ovulated and you want to get your test done in that window. If you're someone who does not know when they ovulate or you really struggle to pinpoint that and you also have very regular cycles, the other way, as an interim guesstimate measure that I encourage my clients to do, is to do those tests about 5 to 7 days before they expect to get their period. So in an example, if you had a 28-day cycle, which, you know, some people do, some people don't, but if you had a 28-day cycle, you'd be looking at doing those peak luteal blood tests 5 to 7 days before day 28. So you'd count backwards. So 28 minus 7, which would be 21, or 28 minus 5, which is going to be 23. So day 21, 22, or 23 of your cycle, you'd be aiming to get those blood tests done in the morning, fasted, rested, always with blood tests. I think that the other thing, again, that I want to remind you of here is that when you get those results, those blood test results, you need to consider what is actually optimal, not just what is quote unquote normal. So often we're not taking at face value what is told back from us from a regular GP that does not understand how to interpret things in the context of optimal. And in the situation where actually your hormone results are optimal, perhaps you do have great optimal estrogen and perhaps you have very sufficient and well-balanced progesterone in there, yet you're still experiencing all of these physical, emotional, psychological symptoms before you get your period. The conclusion from that is not that, A, it's just in your head, this just must be your normal, or this, you know, it's just how it is for you, so to speak. My conclusion from that as a practitioner is that your problem is not that you have too much estrogen or not enough progesterone. The problem is likely, very likely, that there is a hypersensitivity to normal hormonal shifts that are happening through a menstrual cycle, and in particular in that luteal phase. And so that then for me would very much dictate the types of herbs, nutritionals, interventions that I'm going to provide to that person versus the person who has very straightforward estrogen excess or progesterone insufficiency. And again, circling back to this situation where even though sometimes there's this temptation to think that natural medicine and herbs and vitamins and minerals are just gentle and they, you know, aren't that powerful, so you can't really go wrong with them or it's not going to hurt, it's not true, because our herbs, our nutritionals are incredibly powerful, and when used in the right way and in the right context for the right person, have incredible benefits, incredible power, and can be life-changing. But in the same way, it is possible to take herbs, to take supplements that are quote-unquote natural, and to worsen a situation. And so I just would really encourage you, as the takeaway from this podcast, a few things. One, run through that checklist of, is my experience of that week or two before my period something that actually sounds like it's not quite normal based on what I've shared in this episode? If it is, how about you go and get some hormone testing done? And I'll share a little resource that you can access in a moment for that. And then number three, once you do get that hormone testing done, really looking at those results through the lens of what is optimal versus just what is quote unquote normal or reflected back to you from someone who is not looking through an optimal lens. And then most importantly, working with a practitioner that is very skilled in this space, that can then tailor a treatment protocol or treatment plan for you. And in the meantime, something that you can do for yourself regardless is to really nail those hormone balancing foundations that I shared earlier. So the resources or main resource I want to share with you is that I do have a free how to test your hormone guide, which if you DM me the word hormone testing, the words I should say, hormone testing, I will send that to you via Instagram DM. So DM me hormone testing if you would like that guide. And also, I will make sure that there's a link in my Instagram bio that you can also click into it from. And then the other thing that I just wanted to remind you of is that in April 12th to be precise, so not too far away, I am running a perimenopause masterclass. And this masterclass is going to cover everything you need to know to have an empowered journey through perimenopause. It will teach you how to understand when you are in perimenopause, understand what is normal versus what is not, how to empower yourself through this journey, how to advocate for yourself through this journey, and some of those foundations that you can implement yourself to aid that being a much smoother transition. And so if you are someone or you know someone in their 40s or 50s or even in late 30s, I think this is a masterclass not to be missed, if I do say so myself. The more we know in advance, ahead of time, ahead of this hormonal transition that we are all going to go through, the far more easeful our journey is going to be. And not only that, but the experience we have through perimenopause has the ability to either negatively or positively influence our longer term health and our longevity. And so it's really something that I think we all should get on board understanding and having knowledge and tools in the toolkit around. So if you would like to sign up for that, you can DM me the word perimenopause, or you'll also be able to find the link in my Instagram bio to sign up. I hope that this has been an informative conversation. I hope that, you know, if you are currently dealing with PMS or PMDD, all those symptoms that I shared, that it has inspired you to not suffer in silence and that it's time to actually reach out and get some support. Or maybe you need to, maybe you've already done that, but you haven't found the support you need yet. And my encouragement would be to keep looking and looking for people who are going to hear you, support you, see you, and perhaps look at it through a different lens than what you have already done, particularly if you obviously haven't gotten the result that you want. If you are looking for someone to work with one-to-one on this, then my books for one-to-one consults are currently open. I have limited spots available, but you are welcome to book in via the link in my Instagram bio. You're also welcome to just reach out to me on Instagram or via email. I do have a very small number of free complimentary assessment calls where you can book in a chat with me that is complimentary, that goes for about 20 minutes, that just gives you the opportunity to share with me what you're currently struggling with and you're looking for support with. And I can then share with you whether or not I feel like I'm the right person to support you and share a little bit more about what that journey would look like for you. And then you can make a decision as to whether or not that feels good and you want to move forward with one-to-one consults or if you don't. And I know that Amy also offers a client application form, and you can find that in the link to the show notes. You can also find it just by contacting her on Instagram or sending her an email as well. All right, loves, I am sending you all of the happy hormone vibes, and I'm looking forward to chatting again next week.
You've been listening to the Holistic Health Podcast with Amy and Nat.
If you loved this episode, then make sure you share it on Instagram and give us a tag.
If you'd like to help us spread the holistic health message far and wide, then we would also so appreciate it if you left a rating and review. This helps us more than you know.
And don't forget to come and say hi over on Instagram. See you next week.